The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, my next guest believes that we must all properly interrogate why we never seem to have enough time. And if we accept that the workday has expanded, why is it that employees who are on the cusp of burnout are told that they're the ones who need to manage their time better? Dr. Dale Whelehan is with me now, Assistant Professor of Psychology at Trinity College. You're very welcome, Dale.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We all feel, I think it's fair to say, that we don't have enough time to do anything outside of work. But it's not our fault. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm really curious by this statement. Like, and once I became aware of it, I suddenly started seeing it everywhere. Like, it's the, you know, it's the family member who says they don't have time to go home. It's the parent saying that they don't have the time to, you know, look after themselves while also looking after their kids. And then there's work. We don't have enough time to do all the work that we do. And so that's interesting, despite all the focus we've had on time management over the last however many decades. All the money, all the effort's gone into improving people's relationship and management of their time. And yet, we probably are never as time poor as we are now.
So are we being sold a pup when we're told, oh, you just have to manage your time better? You need to look at how you're dividing up your day. Is that not fair?
I think it follows how management is a kind of discipline formed. Back in the early 1900s, you kind of were able to create different pockets of your work and therefore you could get more efficient and figure out how to do that. But work has changed quite a lot in the last 20 years. A lot of people work now in quite an unboundaried way. So there is no start or formal end day of the day. There's also a lot more expected of them. They have to use their brains a lot more than the past and having to come up with new solutions, innovations. All that sort of stuff creates a higher level of cognitive load on people. And people are feeling like there is too much to do, not enough time to do it. But actually, their brain is often just overwhelmed by the speed of which society has evolved.
So is it the case that the more productive we become, the more demands are placed on us?
Correct. Yes. So there's a fundamental theory called social acceleration. Every time we get better, we make a technological advancement that's supposed to give us back time. We have a tendency to fill that time automatically with something new. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that there isn't any impact of all that old work as well. We're still ticking along doing that, but now we're layering in new on top of it as well. And I think we're seeing this with AI. You know, people are talking about using large language models in their work and they're overwhelmed. There's this new research coming out suggesting that people are engaging what's called cognitive surrender, which there used to be this way of thinking you thought fast, you thought slow, depending on, you know, whether you were actively engaging in rational reflection of work, but now people are just not engaging whatsoever because they're so overwhelmed by the sheer amount of information.
And what about the value that we place on rest? Like we tend to see rest now as a bit of a luxury, right? But that's a relatively new concept.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it came from the Industrial Revolution, but it got tied up quite a lot with Calvinist kind of Protestant work ethic back in the late 1800s, which said that if you aren't being productive, you aren't being worthwhile, essentially. So capitalism and industrial capitalism formed quite along that sort of moral way of thinking about our time. And that is now completely institutionalized in how we have our relationship to time. You only need to look at people, the increasing level of hustle culture that we would have traditionally only seen in places like America seeping into, you know, places like Ireland.
What does that mean? Explain hustle culture to me.
The idea that nothing is enough. You know, there's always more I can be doing.
Keep pushing.
There's an anxiety, I think, around, you know, the achievement of the American dream or the equivalent of there, depending on your country.
And if you're not pushing, you're not valued, worthy. You're not worried. You're a bit lazy, aren't you, if you're not pushing?
Yeah. And we even think about, you know, there's a whole field of research called chronemics, which is about how you perceive time, your own time and also the time of others. So when I arrive late, you might automatically assume that I don't value you, that I don't value your time, that I'm lazy. But also if I was the person then who was arriving early, I'd probably do the exact same thing to you. So we are constantly evaluating kind of social norms based on our relationship to time and ourselves and also to other people.
Mm-hmm. So when someone who's in an employee situation says, I'm feeling like I'm at the end of my tether here, I'm burnt out, and the solution that's offered to them is sort of a time management course, or let's look at how you're working. Is that fair? Is that the right thing to do? Have we got it all wrong?
I think yes, to be honest. So I'm going to be doing some new work with IBEC and some large companies here in Ireland to try and get them to think different about time. And what I'm proposing is what's called temporal intelligence. So it's a different way of thinking about our relationship to time, marrying it much more with kind of psychology and physiology realities that we can't ignore. And if we got a better relationship of how to organize our time to marry to those unignorable realities of just who we are as people, we could probably have a better relationship with time and probably be more productive. And so I'll be working with them over the next few weeks to figure out what does that look like in practice.
What does it look like in practice, do you think?
Well, if you remember the term emotional intelligence came to the forefront maybe like 20 years ago. Before that, people used to think, oh, you don't bring emotions into the workplace. But obviously, people do bring emotions. We don't get to shut off all those parts of ourselves as much as we might like to when we step in here. And so emotional intelligence said, okay, let's figure out how to bring this into work and harness it for, you know, good. I'm basically doing the same thing about time. We are constantly thinking about time. The framework I'm talking about is, first of all, how do we become aware of some of the narratives about time that actually aren't serving us? So being busy is being productive. Let's have a meeting about that. I'm not working hard enough. All these sort of things, which if we critically analyze them, are they actually working for us or working for anyone? Then how might we actually go about negotiating change to how we think about time in the workplace, whether for ourselves and our teams and our organizations, creating a more balanced way whereby we can put in effort but also recover from that effort, like how an elite athlete would do. They peak performance and then they recover from that. We're no different to the physiology and psychology of elite athletes. And then ultimately, how do we create the system that allows greater level of slack within it? So if we have a tendency to continue to add more and more and more, how do we actually pause ourselves from doing that and seeing actually where are we going?
But is this ultimately about getting more out of people? You know, if the big companies are looking at this, is this what they want?
It is about getting more out of people. It's about getting people back to having a sense of livelihood. You know, the workday, the third busiest time of the day for emails now is 10 p.m. You know,
and grim.
Exactly. You know, we are passively walking into this. And, you know, there's many different things that have happened with our relationship to time over the last 100 years that have made us arrive here, you know, to an unconscious way. It is not against business interest to be doing this. It's actually safeguarding the future of humans and thus the workforce. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's a reason why burnout rates and stress rates are rising exponentially now compared to 20, 30 years ago. It's because the amount of work and the expectations of how much time to complete that work have just grown.
So there's an expectation that you'll be checking your emails at 10 o'clock at night. I mean, that's almost become built in, hasn't it?
Well, it's a cultural norm now, you know, and it's influenced by people, as you say. You know, you go onto your social media and there's certainly my social media pumps being like, you should be doing X, Y and Z, you know, otherwise you're not productive or worthwhile. But then it's also team norms, organizational norms, cultural norms.
Because people are afraid to show weakness by saying no, aren't they? And saying, I don't check my emails outside of my work hours. People are don't say that anymore, really.
It's very hard to put up boundaries. You know, it suggests to people that you must be somewhat vulnerable to say that actually I know that I've reached my limit and that if I go beyond this, I'm going to shoot myself in the foot for the next day or the day after. So you are going against the cultural tide, I suppose, but for the better.
Some messages coming in. Ireland has followed the British and American work system when we should be following the European system. In Europe, work starts and stops at fixed times. Working beyond that is not expected by companies, and you've got healthier and happier workers. Is there anything in that?
Absolutely. I mean, there is that famous quote of Dublin being closer to Boston than Berlin. You know,
yes.
Our culture is much more influenced by...
Well, we've invited it in, haven't we?
We have, absolutely.
Culture, yeah.
And it plays a disproportionate level of influence on how we think about work in Ireland. But there is, you know, working time regulation, the right to disconnect, flexible working policies, all these sort of things are coming down the pipeline. And we're seeing that happen in more of Central European countries. So I think there's always a tension to figure out how do you spark innovation and, you know, business entrepreneurship while also protecting, you know, time and not viewing it as something that is inherently a left-wing or a right-wing issue, actually. When people feel happy and healthy and they have time, they actually are productive. It's
so,
not an either-or.
On an individual level, do we need to pull back from this always-on model?
Yeah, we do. Like, it is serving no one. By being on all the time, not only are we increasing our own stress, our burnout, We are less present in all the parts of our lives, work and non-work. We might think we have this endless capacity to continue to perform, but actually by always being on, we're getting diminished returns.
But you know now, if you do that and you do it alone, you get a rep for being like the no-hoper in the office. Don't ask Daryl for anything because he's not working after 5 o'clock.
Well, again, these are all about conversations of negotiation, though. So the workday in and of itself, the 9 to 5, is not in existence in the way that we thought about it 6-7 years ago. So what I'm calling for is more explicit conversations around time in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Thinking about it from the different stakeholder groups. How do we give people back their sense of agency over their time? How do we ensure business gets value for the time that they are getting from their employers or employees? And how do teams ultimately get to, you know, figure that out at that middle level as well?
So the 8-hour day is gone, is it? Doesn't exist anymore.
You tell me. I mean, yeah, I feel like the unboundaried nature of work, it's extremely difficult for us to be able to understand what do we qualify as work now? Mm-hmm. That's a bigger question. Work used to just be go in, do your core tasks and leave.
So if we accept that the working day is gone, it's about how we as humans survive that.
Well, it's about figuring out what is the future of work? What is the future workday? Is it 7 a.m. to 9 p.m.? And is the expectation that we are expected to be available for all that time? Or is there more nuanced conversations that we could be having in business to safeguard people, but also safeguard business for the future?
It's fascinating. Dale Whelan, who's Assistant Professor of Psychology at Trinity. When does your workday start? When does it finish? Does it ever finish? WhatsApp us 087 1400 106.
The Claire Byrne Show with Aviva Insurance. Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.